Our friend Jonathan Thomas has made his way by, and better late than never, my friend. I'm telling you, we were getting emails, we were getting tweets, and where the hell's Jonathan?
All for my grandmother, I would think.
Where in the world is Jonathan?
Happy to have you on board.
Well, happy to be here.
Yeah, Catholic boy going to the post this afternoon. Easter weekend, mm-hmm. Couldn't be any more appropriate. There's a hunch play.
Definitely a hunch weekend. If Chicago Loyola can pull it off tonight and we can pull something off today, it'll be... You know, there'll be a lot of celebrating, I'm sure.
Sister Jean going to the Kentucky Derby?
We'll hire her. if she needs to make an appearance, we'll definitely find a way.
Well, look, you bring in Catholic boy, and he's going to make his second start in his three-year-old campaign. We talked before the Sam F. Davis, and I told Jude, I got the impression after visiting with you on this program that, look, he doesn't have to be fully cranked. He doesn't have to win this one today. He's doing well. We like where he is, but... this is not the ultimate goal. How about today?
This would have a lot more bearing, in a horse's long-term career, potentially as a stallion. And, you know, it's a big feather in his cap as a racehorse. So we're treating this race like it's a grade one. I mean, it is a prep, but it has a lot of value in its own right. So we're not coming in here, half-cocked. I mean, we're... came in and got him settled in and thought he had a really nice work over the racetrack. And I think it's interesting this time of year, physically, in retrospect, he's actually growing. And he kind of went through a little bit of a growth curve, and he's just kind of coming right to me now. So it's interesting balancing the horse's physical part that you have no control over, and then actually trying to train them up to a race, and it's trying to strike that balance, and hopefully one doesn't encumber the other. But it's funny, he's really done great here the last 2 weeks, and I honestly feel we're bringing a stronger horse over this time.
Yeah, I heard that from Richard Migliori, who I think is a pretty good judge. I mean, he's a really smart guy, and he has a great eye in the paddock and this and that. And we had a long conversation at the sale on Wednesday afternoon, and he told me, he said, "Dude, this horse just looks fantastic. I can't believe how good he looks." So that kind of backs you up on what you just said, and it's got to give you a lot of confidence coming in here. I mean, I've been a fan of this horse from day one, and I thought he was an absolute lock in the rims, and I loved the move to the dirt. I don't know why, I just felt like he was going to blossom, and he just continues to improve. I mean, his last race, people say, oh, he got beat. He ran the best Brisnet speed figure that he's ever run in his life.
Correct.
And I don't know about the other ones, but, that was a tremendous move forward off a little rest, which you see horses do when they finally get a break. Two-year-olds get a little break, and then they come back. They usually move way forward, and he did, and that's what you want to see.
It is. I mean, he definitely made a numerical progression, in the right direction. There were a couple nuances being parked wide and maybe nitpicking kind of picking at the pace a little bit instead of just getting buried and making one run. There were a couple little dynamics there. Obviously, I would have loved to have seen him polish it off, but, he got a lot out of it, and Flame Away came back and ran a pretty gutsy effort. And now, retrospect, or hindsight's always 20/20, but he is getting a lot better hold of this racetrack, and he seems to be a lot more confident, and it feels like he's grabbing it and pushing off of it. Where at Tampa, I went back and watched his work before and versus this work, and I felt like maybe it was just breaking away from him a little bit. I'm not blaming the track at all, but it's amazing in these bigger races because of the quality level. The details really become that much more important. Your trip, the track, the pace, just those little things. Because ideally, the first four horses today, I mean, there's very little separating them from a right. talent perspective.
You're going to make a rider change today. You give a leg up to jockey Irad Ortiz Jr. after Manny Franco had been aboard in each of the past four starts on Catholic Boy. Talk about that decision.
Well, those decisions are always difficult to make. I mean, Manny was instrumental in getting this horse to where we were. And, we threw him up at Saratoga on a horse that he had never been on, and he rode him like he was the best horse. You know, we were coming out of Gulfstream. I mean, I'm just starting to make a little bit, of headway in the training ranks. So, but I'm basically an unknown guy bringing a horse up from Gulfstream to Saratoga. legging Manny up, and he rode him like, you know, he was riding for anybody else. So we really owe a lot to him. But when you get in these waters here, you just can't leave anything to risk. And the fact that, you know, it was kind of odd. IRAD's camp and our camp kind of reached out to each other simultaneously and met in the middle. It wasn't kind of, you know, trying to get each other, but we just like locked up, you know, actually before the Fountain of Youth with promises fulfilled. So it was kind of already done. Obviously that made it a little bit harder, I'm sure, for him, but we just said, look, you know, you can, it's your decision and whatever you think's best. We're not going to hold it against you. But I think his style of riding, he's a very patient rider, who I think can give this horse just a really quiet, good ground saving trip and produce him. I'd love to just produce him once, you know, just kind of clock it. And maybe, I don't think we're not going to be making the first move, probably not making the second move, but we're hopefully making that third move, you know, depending on the pace scenario.
You talk like a guy that's ridden a couple races.
Well, I rode just enough to kind of get a feel for it, but I could never put myself in, you know, these guys' shoes. And a lot of times we just leg them up and let them do what they do best. I hate getting in a guy's way, but, you know, I'd just love to see him ridden a little patiently.
Do we have a little bit of a David Goliath situation going on here? Because you tackle Todd Pletcher, who you know very, very well, spent some time working with Todd, and now you have to try to take on Todd, who's won more Florida Derbies than anybody in history.
I wouldn't call it intimidating because, you know, he's such a great guy. It's, you know, I still to this day, even, you know, I'm always rooting for him and his team, and, you know, I still feel like part of the family, so it's hard to ever look at it competitively. I kind of look at it more, it's a real privilege to be, you know, participating in something like this and, you know, suiting up with a guy like Todd or a guy like Dale. It's like, you know, being able to put on a uniform and play with LeBron. I mean, you know, I don't know if I belong, but it's certainly a privilege to be there.
Yeah, sometimes you look around the paddock when you're, you know, first starting out, and you're not really first starting out. I mean, you're getting pretty famous now, but you win a lot of races. You do very well. And, but you look around and you go, wow, this is amazing. You know, that happened to me one time at Louisiana Downs. I was in a grade three, but most of the fillies, there were seven in there that had won a grade one.
Oh, wow.
And I look around and, you know, John Veach is there and Laz Barrera is there and Charlie Whittingham is there. And I go, what the heck is that? You know, I'm in Louisiana Downs.
The Santa Anita colony came out with you.
Yeah. So I wasn't intimidated, but I felt like, wow, that's cool that I've gotten to this point where I actually have a filly that.
Yeah.
And she got beat in nose because I gave bad instructions. But but it's just, you know, it's really cool when you get to do that, I think.
It is. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that anytime any of us take out a trainer's license or ride, you know, whatever we do, we're doing it. So eventually we get these kind of opportunities. So I don't think you can, you know, dismiss them. And you have to enjoy what you're doing and soak it up. And, you know, hopefully this isn't our last time doing something like this. I'm also trying to, you know, look at it as a learning opportunity. So down the road, but ultimately, you know, in these situations, the horses make your life harder or easier. And in this case, he makes life very easy on us and our team. You know, we all sat down, like I said before, and just said, look, we got to treat it like another race. We got to do what's right by him and keep a good, quiet environment. And I mean, the horse really keeps everybody calm because he's simple to deal with.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here, and knowing Todd the way that I know Todd, I bet you if you win today, he'll be the first person to text you, congratulate you.
I would say that's very likely. I mean, he's even on a smaller scale at smaller races. I mean, he's always been a guy to reach out and give a pat on the back. And, you know, that means the world to me.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. Jonathan Thomas with us here on HRRN. We have to get to the break here at the top of the hour, but Jonathan, appreciate you stopping by, spending a little time with us, and go get it done with Catholic Boy today. Good luck.
We're going to try, and thank you guys for all that you do. You know, you've served me well on a lot of long road trips and kept me up to, you know, up to par on everything, so I really appreciate what you all bring to the table.
Appreciate it.